Hey, all cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I am good, Josh. Well, we've played like 50 FA Cup matches in the last 3 days, and still game week 19 isn't over.
So the FA Cup third round isn't even over. It's right. Arsenal Oxford United tomorrow.
So much football, which is obviously what we're going to talk on today's episode, because it's been big news today. We're recording Sunday night. Manchester United have a double game week, as do Crystal Palace. Perhaps not as relevant, given their poor Vieira.
You never know. It's going to end up being some rando. You know, like Eze is going to be in the highest scoring player in game week 20. Like, that's just, yeah, Schlupp. Just somebody. It could only be Schlupp in the end, yeah. Brandon. Yep.
So I feel like we've got to sift through. Did we learn anything from this weekend's FA Cup matches in terms of who played, who's in form, any injuries, plus check in on where we are with the still in progress game week 19, and then what to do about these doubles. Who are we going to bring into our team? We're both on two free transfers going into game week 20, so the sky is the limit for our squads, Josh.
Yeah, I think that although ultimately I suppose I should have just made that Luke Shaw move, Brandon. I would be what would that be? That'd be a net 14 points. The trick is not to give yourself every point for the player that you would have brought in. That is the temptation, is to really kick yourself and say that I would have had, you know. So I'm on 60 points for the week, which is still a great score, all thanks to Harry Kane. But I stuck with Cancelo, who, of course, was hooked in the 45th minute. And we talked about this in last week's pod. I didn't feel confident enough that Man United were going to have a double in game week 20. Even people who were very confident felt like it was maybe more like a 50% chance of happening. And ultimately, they did announce that Man United do not have to play a replay next week when game week 20 will take place. And so they are using that window to make up for basically to get ahead of a ton of fixture congestion. And so that's why this Palace Man United game, a rescheduled match from earlier in the season, is going forward. And so, yeah, we're now in a position where we have four teams that play twice in game week 20. It's pretty exciting. The Spurs Man City one, we were fairly sure that was going to happen, but it did require Spurs and Man City to not draw this week, which is, Liverpool, for example, have to play Wolves again. They've got an FA Cup replay that same week when game week 20 doubles are going to be taking place. And if there's one thing I learned from this weekend, Brandon, it's that Liverpool really, this defensive problem is not going away, is it? This is really, it's here all season. I think we can officially... It's hard to see it going away. I don't know that your boy Cody Gakpo is going to be enough to change that brand.
Yeah, Gakpo may help the offense. I don't know why I'm offense. Suddenly having trouble with that word. we're back to the situation that Liverpool were in when Pickford destroyed Virgil van Dijk's ACL. Now, I think we've had a different version of Virgil van Dijk since he came back from that injury. But yeah. Clean sheets don't seem like they're going to be a feature of Liverpool's game. Though, people have been having some good luck with Trent and Robertson since the World Cup with just attacking output. So, that's a whole other conversation of what's the points per FPL return for, for them.
If they could ever get clean sheets, the problem is you're paying like $7 million for a defender who I can't remember the last time I saw Trent do his customary kind of, hold the ball, get set. It's one of the most intimidating things in the Premier League is when Trent, is set to hit a free kick.
Well, let's not get sucked into this Liverpool vortex because
I don't know how we did. That's my fault.
It is. <Yeah. laughs> It's all about Luke Shaw, as you mentioned. Now, 60 points is definitely a good score in game week 19 for you with a good arrow, and you still have two to go with Pereira and Kepa in the final match of the game week.
That's right. Yeah, I captained Mitro, as did you. Looked great when he scored early on. Gets the yellow card more for dissent, I think, than I wonder if it was a yellow card. You and I speculated that he would really want to play in this West London
derby.
But maybe he just saw it as an opportunity to get a couple weeks off.
It was, honestly, it was for accumulation. I think that accumulation of dissent and on top of accumulation of ticky-tack fouls by Mitro. So it was coming. And I'm still shocked that at least Marco Silva didn't sub him out and feel like he could just control and prevent Leicester from scoring. That's a big disappointment for both of us. I mean, the disappointment for me was I also played Cancelo like you, but I played him over Saliba. I just felt like that Arsenal-Newcastle game was going to be a wild affair. It was a wild-ish affair.
It was compelling. It was good TV. It was compelling. It was a lot of fire in that match, even for a no-no.
I mean, just like bench Arsenal players at your own peril at this point, I think is where we're at. And yeah, I like you dodged the not having KDB, dodged a Haaland non-captaincy after that Mitro yellow card. But yeah. I just
dodged
failed to
Darwin
score.
Darwin sale as well.
I dodged my Darwin sale. Yes, I sold Darwin to bring in Mitro and captain him. On the whole, I came out ahead because otherwise I would have captained Haaland. So that's an extra 2 points that I got there. But Bruno and Rashford, between them, 14 points for my team. I still wish, obviously, that I had gotten more from Bruno over these last three game weeks. So this double game week announcement for Manchester United gives me one last breath with Bruno, one last swing of the bat, shall we say?
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about Bruno so far? I mean, I was not high on your Bruno acquisition. I mean, it hasn't been a complete disaster because you have gotten two assists from him, and I guess you've gotten three clean sheet points, Brandon, which is like the equivalent of one assist. So let's give you a little bit extra there. But he is 9.8 million, pretty expensive. You know, what have you felt just watching Bruno? Because I feel like you always watch a game a little more intensely and with a clear eye on your own fantasy player when you own them. So what have you thought about Bruno having had him in your team so far the last couple of game weeks?
Well, before we started recording, Josh, I said I had a special stat just for you. This one comes from FootMob, great app, leading in both big chances created and chances created this season is Kevin De Bruyne. 18 big chances created and on the whole 59. In second place is Kieran Trippier. That would be no surprise to fantasy managers. And Bruno Fernandes in third place on both big chances and total chances created. He's created 44 total chances this season and 11 big chances. So you forgot about Bruno, but he's still up there at the top of the stats tables in terms of creating goal scoring opportunities for his teammates. And
a big chance, Brandon, is like when you see the girl at the bar and you miss the chance to walk up and talk to her and you regret it for the rest of your life. That's sort of like a big chance, right? That's how the statisticians define it. It's sort of
absolutely.
Analogy.
I mean, I remember talking to a girl I went to high school with years after high school, and I said, you know, I really regret not asking you to be my prom date. And she said, you probably should have asked me because I would have said yes. So
it's like that movie Mr. Destiny, Brandon. It could have changed the whole course of your life. So this is what Bruno is doing. Bruno's creating the chance of a lifetime for Anthony Martial on a regular basis. And because he's Anthony Martial, he continues to blow these chances. So this is really the problem, isn't it? Which we can talk a little bit more about later on the pod. I don't want to do what we did last week, which is do the entire pod in the intro, but which was kind of fun in a way. It was like I looked up and we were 49 minutes into the conversation before we got to the main topic, but it does point to the problem with Man United right now, which is that it's outside of Marcus Rashford, it's not clear who's going to score for this team. People are scoring, but it's kind of spread around, and in some ways their ostensible forward is the one you would maybe least expect to score right now.
Yeah, it's true. They're short one player, really. Now that Anthony is back and fit and match fit from the World Cup, that's your right flank covered. Put Rashford out on the left, Bruno in the middle, and then where's the number nine? And as you point out, that I don't think that Martial obviously flourishes when he's surrounded by other good players who are in form. Wouldn't we all, Josh?
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's It's honestly not my biggest concern. I have seen, when you watch Manchester United the last month, Bruno is central to everything, and he is spending a lot of time in the attack inside the 18-yard box. So yeah. I can't sit here and say, yes, now that the double has been announced for Manchester United, go out and get Bruno. But I do think there is an upside opportunity for a player like Bruno. He's exactly the sort of player who would surprise and come out with a really meaty double-digit score in this double game week. So I'm feeling confident is not the right word. I'm feeling excited to have Bruno going into 20.
There's a kind of fun to having him. which I can appreciate. Like, he's a little bit I don't know that he's going to be very popular, honestly, for people. I think there are other, getting a third Man City player, getting possibly Harry Kane, getting, you know, there's kind of a handful of different players out there who I think are going to be a little more highly targeted. So unless you're wild carding, or it's also like, who are you going to drop, right? And so I think there's really, it's Mo Salah is going to fund one key spot right now. And so I think having Bruno does give you a little bit of an edge right now. And I feel like, well, we can talk more about this later as well, but I wonder if I would almost prefer Antony to Bruno going into this, or even Christian Eriksen. I don't know. It's like, it feels like you can kind of take your pick among those. A Casemiro, Brandon, if money is really tight. I mean, his ability to accrue points is kind of remarkable for, you know, like a deep line, you know, defensive mid playmaker, whatever we're calling him. But, you know, Antony, he had a little bit of an injury issue, but it looks like he's okay now. So maybe he's someone we could consider as well. But anyway, we'll talk more about that in a second. Catching up briefly on the game week that's actually still happening. We have game week 19. You and I talked about it a little bit already. We have one more game to go. What are your thoughts? I mean, you're a Fulham supporter. We've got Fulham, Chelsea on Thursday. You have three players in that game, right? You have Cucurella, Kepa, and Andreas. Andreas feels like the most universal. Overall, it's not that high, but it feels incredibly. I feel like I don't know anybody in any of my mini leagues that doesn't have Andreas going into this going into this Thursday match.
It's funny. You look back at this chart I was looking at for big chances created. Andreas doesn't appear anywhere, at least in the top 15.
Remarkable.
But he is number four in terms of just regular old chances created. So he's mixing it up, and he's a fun
that's
player
like when
to
you
have.
It's like when you just talk to the girl at the bar. You know, it's not a big chance that you missed. It's just it's just a chance. You know, you went for it.
Yeah, and your buddies are like, "Wow, I can't believe that you actually talked to her.
You
never stood a chance."
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because it was not a big chance. That was.
I mean, obviously, this is the best time for Fulham to be playing Chelsea. They will be reeling after their just thrashing at the hands of Manchester City in the FA Cup, having lost just a few days ago to them
twice
in the league.
4 days.
Yeah. And Graham Potter's
scoring,
future is.
Sorry, I keep talking over you. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Without scoring a goal in either of those two matches, too, which is kind of, you know.
It is tough. It is tough. I think from a Fulham point of view, I think it's a good time for them. But Fulham will be without their talismanic striker in Mitro. So that's a point against Fulham. Chelsea will be without. Just like they have a lot of injuries. Mason Mount started, so him being back, I think, should be pretty big for the Chelsea attack. I don't know. I think I'm just kind of counting my points that I expect from this last fixture fantasy-wise in ones and twos, to be honest with you.
It's hard to say. Fulham did win this weekend, 2-0 win. I believe it was over Hull City. Mitro didn't play a minute in that match, and Vinicius. I don't think Vinicius scored, but he did. He did start with them, and Fulham have actually done surprisingly well without having Mitro in their squad. And Andreas has picked up a little more of the load, so I wouldn't be surprised at all if he was involved in some way in some kind of attack and return for Fulham. And I mean, Fulham. Yeah, what is it? Is it three or four wins in a row now? I think it's four, isn't it? So
on the bounce,
Which is hugely impressive, and they have now scored more points this season with whatever it is, 20 games to go, than they have in all the entire season 2 years ago when they got relegated. So Marco Silva, everyone knew he was going to be good, right? It was like he kind of kept finding himself in these spots where he was. He'd go to like a sinking ship and then he'd go down with the ship and it was like, well, okay, is this guy good or not? It's kind of Roberto Martinez syndrome where it's like, mm-hmm. it's hard to even know if Roberto Martinez is good because he was on so many bad teams over the years. But
yeah, people had expectations for him, but it seemed like all of the expectations had been thwarted and they were gone by the time he found himself at Fulham. And when Scotty Parker left, I was like, oh man, the only thing that's going to save Fulham is some level of continuity, and here comes Marco Silva like a perennial loser. He's never won anything or done anything of particular note, particularly in England, but obviously he has been the best thing to happen to this club in eons. If you look back at Djokanovic, the Serbian manager who brought Fulham up a couple of cycles ago, everybody adored him, and Silva has far surpassed him at this point. It's really magical what he's doing there. So this is an opportunity for Silva and this team to really cement where they are in this cycle to host Chelsea and beat them.
Well, I am on a tiny green arrow right now. I'm up 2,000 spots. I honestly expect to drop down a little bit after game week 14. I think there's enough managers out there with. I guess I'm really rooting for a Fulham goal in that one, and that would probably be enough for me to stay in that grayish arrow territory. All right, so as we mentioned, Man United, Palace, Man City, Spurs all double. In the next game week. And so I want to get right into that conversation. It's really going to be the major thrust of today's podcast. And we've already begun to talk about it a little bit. I just wanted to quickly note on Patreon, for anyone who has been holding off on becoming a Patreon supporter, maybe the Slack was not for you. We decided it wasn't for us either, Brandon. And we finally made the move over to Discord. And we had a couple people. I wanted to quickly shout them out. Emily, Michelle, John.
James.
James, geez, sorry. I'm like, it's all off the gate. Sorry, I have to write these things down, Brandon.
Off
James
the dome.
Yes, exactly. So thanks to a handful of people who really helped us to set up our Discord smartly, which is what we never did with our Slack. We just kind of set it up ourselves like a couple of dummies. And so we have like a moderated forum now. It's incredible. It's so nice and really clean and easy. And there's kind of threads and mini leagues and all kinds of really cool stuff. And Ask Josh and Brandon forum, just lots of really cool stuff happening on there. So patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go to support the podcast, take part in that. Of course, you also get an extra podcast each week. And a quick thank you to John Cox, Steve Pettit, and Goran Henriksen, our newest Patreon supporters. They've joined just honestly since the Discord went live. So I think there were people who were like, you know what, the Slack is not for me. But a lot of people I realize are in Discord. I was on it myself, and that's actually what kind of compelled me to make the switch, because I just like, I think it kind of lends itself to this sort of, to this game discussion and things like that. Obviously, that's where its roots are in gaming. So patreon.com/alwayscheating. Once again, thank you to everyone who, just continually supports the podcast. It really helps us keep doing this every week. Brendan, do you want to quickly shout out the top 10 in the Always Cheating Super League?
Yes, the Always Cheating Super League is public. It's open to everybody who listens to the pod. I think last I checked, we were around 26,000 managers. It's big. It's super, which is why we call it the Super League.
Super.
So looking at the top 10, and it's quite humbling to see the scores here. In 10th place, we have Guilherme Almeida, Walid Zira. In 9th place, Michael Slagter. In 8th and 7th, we've got Viggo Jansson. 6th place, Mark Jordan, Rob Duncan in 5th, Mark Bleakley in 4th. 3rd place, Robert Nielsen, your favorite, Josh. 2nd place, Sarah Edge. We love the Edge story, and we hope that continues through the rest of the season. And in 1st place, holding it down, is Sayakar Tay. I feel pretty confident that I butchered some of those names. If you want to join the Super League, just go to alwayscheating.com and click the league tab, or it's right there on the homepage. Wherever you find Always Cheating, you'll find that league code.
And Sayakar Tay, by the way, Brendan, is 4th in the world. So
amazing.
Congrats to him, and keep it going. All right, so let's take a quick break, Brendan. We'll get back and talk about game week 20.
Guys, did you hear that a Lionel Messi trading card recently sold for over $500,000 on Goldin Auctions? Goldin is the leading and most trusted destination for some of the most significant pieces of sports and pop culture collectibles. And better yet, it's not just for those high-ticket items. Goldin's new always-on marketplace and weekly auctions start at just $5. That means collectors of all kinds can enjoy the same quality, convenience, and seamless user experience that Goldin is known for. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, grade, or vault, Goldin has something for everyone and is your one-stop destination for the love of collecting. Looking to buy a collectible? Good idea. While the S&P 500 fell by an average of nearly 20%, collectibles like trading cards actually increased in value. Looking to sell a collectible? Now is the time to do it. Goldin is offering all sellers up to 50% off marketplace fees before February 17th. So head over to goldin.co to get started. That's goldin.co, goldin.co.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Ben, we're back. Game Week 20 kicks off on Friday. So remember to set their calendars, Brandon. That is a 3 p.m. Eastern time, 8 p.m. a London time start. Villa host Leeds. People often forget that the deadline is 90 minutes before that match, Brennan. So I don't need to keep doing the conversion. I'll just say 1:30 Eastern time is when I need to make sure to set my own team, which is, it's always tough when it's on your own lunch break. I feel like the lunch break team set is tricky. You're, you know, maybe you're walking somewhere and then you look down, oh my God, I've 3 minutes
until
the deadline.
Yeah, I get distracted. The ATM doesn't work. And then 30 minutes later,
it's exactly. You don't have Wi-Fi all of a sudden. So we have Villa hosting Leeds, kind of a fun pure watch. If there weren't all these double game weeks, I would probably start Leon Bailey in this match and see if Leon Bailey could redeem himself after his one of the worst losses. I mean, or misses, I should say. It's not that it was like the worst miss you've ever seen in your life, but given the stakes, you could argue it was the worst miss of the year because Villa are having a pretty tough season. Really could have used that. He rounds the keeper, does everything. It's a great pass from Danny Ings. Does everything right, and then just kind of whiffs it. Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't have gotten those points in your fantasy team, would you?
No. No, I wouldn't have, but it was just, I just felt bad for him. It was such a tough.
We're talking real life here. And it's true. Yep, I mean, and it's form does help inform one's fantasy lineup. So I'm with you there. Like, you have a Leon Bailey who's coming off of a goal scoring game winning performance that makes you more likely to consider bringing him off the bench. I get that, but I mean, at least he's starting. This was, a lot of us started with Leon Bailey, myself included, at the beginning of the season, and Stevie G just could not figure out what his starting 11 ought to be, and we didn't know if he was going to play or not. But it seems like at least he's a consistent starter under Unai.
Our ability to find the least relevant thread for a conversation is really strong today.
Our way into Game Week 20 is Leon Bailey.
Our Liverpool discussion. I mean, somehow, talking about the double game, because I was talking about Liverpool's defense, talking about double Game Week 20, we're talking about Leon Bailey. But they do kick things off on Friday. And then we have a slate of doubles. And I think a big question for me is, you know, it was maybe more of an open question before we had the second double announced. But now that we have multiple squads with doubles and players that I would consider. I think Salah has to go, and we're just not quite getting enough from him. I think it'll come eventually, but he's just so, so expensive. And he's kind of isolated on that squad as well. He's just, he's so far and away the best player. You don't have that kind of, I mean, this is all like stuff that everybody knows already, right? But you just don't have, but from a fantasy perspective, which you're just not getting as many points. I mean, yeah. It's just, you know, he's much more inconsistent than he was in the past. And so now you have this double game week. It's a chance to bring in KDB, who's got two doubles, or you could bring in someone like Bruno, or I don't know, if you didn't have Marcus Rashford, you could bring him in. You could, you know, you consider a lot of different options, or you can use that money to fund a Harry Kane move or something like that. So there's lots of different ways to go there. And the Brighton, I thought that was kind of a tricky fixture. It wasn't when Arsenal played them just a week or so ago. But I still think Brighton away is a tricky enough fixture that I don't feel like I'm, you know, dropping Salah before Bournemouth at home or something like that. Although that was famously a 9-0 win this season where he had 2 points. So I don't even know.
No, you know, your logic tracks. And it's sort of like marrying what we do know about Brighton this season. And they're on a run of form, as you mentioned. I mean, they won their FA Cup fixture. They waxed Everton. They're in great attacking form. So, yep. And given the nature of Liverpool's form right now, it's just not a clean bet to make with your fantasy squad. And on top of that, yes, you have, going back to chance creators, two of the biggest chance creators around who can fill that Salah spot quite easily, De Bruyne or Bruno. And so and right now I think like Salah to De Bruyne. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun here to talk about Kevin De Bruyne, but
interesting. I thought about it earlier because you've sort of, it's almost like you buried the lead, right? Because we were talking about whether you should consider bringing in Bruno, and you're like, yeah, so Kevin De Bruyne, of course, leads.
Yeah.
Leads in chance created with 18, and then you have Trippier and Bruno, and it's like, right, well, maybe I should just get the guy who's in first with chances created. And he has not been in a sparkling run of form. I believe it's three consecutive blanks for him to start things off. But of course, you cannot just, I don't think you need the data revolution to have taken place to understand that Kevin De Bruyne is a perennial chance creator, and that it's going to come. I think it's been a slightly sluggish start for today was the first time that they really opened things up a little bit. They'd played three pretty tight games to kick things off. Another Cancelo 45-minute hook. I don't know what to think about that. It's really, really complicated. Let's hold off on the Cancelo discussion for a second.
I don't think he was hooked at 45 minutes. He actually didn't start the match, and then he came on at the 59th.
Was it the reverse?
Minute.
Okay. Yeah. Right. I have it reversed then. Okay.
Which is, it's not even clean in that way, where you're like, okay, maybe Pep's trying to continue to play Cancelo into form. He's going to sub him on around the 60th minute. No, my friend. Rico Lewis, the fullback du jour, comes in at the very end of the game to further confuse matters in terms of what Pep thinks about his fullbacks. So, yeah, Cancelo is just an ongoing nightmare for sure.
All right, well, let's get into some questions here. I have one for you and me to start, which is just what are our initial thoughts for our own squads? You mentioned that you and I both have we manage separate teams, Brandon, but you and I both have two transfers for our own squads to consider. You have, I guess, one, two. How many players do you have for the doubles at the moment?
Yeah, I have Cancelo. If we want to count him, we must. Rashford, Bruno, and Haaland. So I have four doublers.
Okay.
And that feels like I could have more. And I think, especially with Man City, where Cancelo is by no stretch of the imagination a lock, and for minutes, I feel like I really only have one City player. So as I look at my squad, there are two players that I definitely want. And now going back to De Bruyne, I feel like I learned a little bit, And you know, after 10 plus seasons of playing FPL, there's still opportunities to learn, Josh. Kane's performance against Crystal Palace. Spurs looked woeful the first half against Palace, and then a bit of magic in the second half, and suddenly Harry Kane has two goals, assist, three bonus. And what that tells us is it's not, to me, a lesson about patience, like get these big-ticket players and stick with them. It is just a reminder of they will bring in the points. And it kind of... Sometimes you can't even put form into the conversation with players like this, because when they do come in, they come in this really major way. And so Kevin De Bruyne, I'm trying to get to where I'm saying I'm not scared off of Kevin De Bruyne's sort of lackluster post-World Cup form. I feel like he could easily do what Kane did against Crystal Palace in this double. So I am without Kane and I am without De Bruyne, the two players that are most likely, apart from Erling Haaland, to absolutely explode this game week. But of course, the only way for me to get both of them would be to take a minus four. So,
and then sacrifice probably Bruno, right? I mean, Could you get there just with a minus four?
I luckily have 2.2 million in the bank. So what I can do is keep Bruno and move Salah to De Bruyne, Mitrovic to Harry Kane, Cancelo to Luke Shaw. So a minus four, I bring in three doublers, and I've kind of got all of the main dudes.
Why don't you do that right now? If you have exact money, I would just do that right now.
Yeah,
I think that's fine.
Cancelo is price dropping tonight, but I do have enough value in Cancelo that a one price drop doesn't change my sell-on value. So I think that's what I'm going to end up doing, is Mitro, Salah, Cancelo out for Shaw, De Bruyne and Kane. Seems. I mean, can you poke any holes in that?
No, I like it. I mean, I think that it's they're kind of the clearest. Well, I mean, the Cancelo thing is tricky. I mean, I guess I'll just talk about that with my squad now, which is that I don't really, you know, in the way my squad is set up, it doesn't really make sense to drop Cancelo. I'm just going to play him and hope that he gets some minutes. I don't really know what else to do there. Hope he gets maybe one start in one of these two matches. If I had like some midfielder that I really wanted besides Kevin De Bruyne, maybe that would be different. But as it is, I think I'm just going to roll with him and hope it works out. But I have Daniel James, I have Reece James, who is sitting last
Only crazy
on the bench.
People have Daniel James, Josh. You're not that crazy.
So I have James.
Who scored the second goal for Fulham today? Sorry to interrupt you.
He did. That's true. So I could move James to Shaw. Then I could move Salah to KDB. I mean, I wouldn't need to free up money to do that. But James to Shaw, Salah to KDB. And then the question for me is, do I go Mitro to Martial? And I am Martial's probably least biggest fan, whatever the opposite, you know, whatever that is. But I wonder if it maybe is the most sensible move. The other move, the other move I could consider would be like a really aggressive move where I just try to bring in Alvarez and just see if it works out. That would require me to drop Cancelo though. So then I'm suddenly in minus eight territory, which I don't feel quite as enthusiastic about.
Tell me why you would bring in Alvarez.
Well, I don't, just because I you know, there's a chance he'll get some minutes. Mm-hmm. He gets 45 minutes. I mean, would I want Alvarez in 45 minutes versus Martial in like 160? Like, I'm not actually sure.
Okay.
Which maybe leads me to believe I should just hold on to Mitro. But Mitro does play away to Newcastle. I mean, it's not a great fixture. And given where I sort of am rank-wise, right, I'm at 12.4K at the moment, in an extremely good spot. One of the only players that could really hurt me in this double would be Anthony Martial. Fairly highly owned, will be targeted by many people. I already have Harry Kane in my squad. So is there some value in just spending minus four and really, it's the classic sword versus shield situation, right? And so I do see some value. And I don't think there's anything wrong with occasionally playing defense. I don't think that's playing scared. I think that's just covering your flank, right? Like, it's just, there's just something yes. to be said for, you know, yeah. for just yeah, covering you know, yourself.
If you're teaching a West Point course, this is exactly what we would be talking about.
Exactly. And in some ways, I feel like I haven't done enough of that. You know, making this move to not solve the James problem until now has probably come back to haunt me a little bit in terms of my defensive returns this week. Cancelo would be gone if he didn't have the double. And as it is, it's just like, okay, fine. I'll just hold on to him. The other key to Kevin De Bruyne, and the reason that I think moving Cancelo out, Brennan, does make some sense for you, is that you are going to get another double with Man City. And mm-hmm. this is my, you know, the Cancelo problem, I don't necessarily want to solve it right now by taking a -4. But do I want to solve it before game week 23 when they play another double? Yes, I do. And in that case, I might be more amenable to moving on some midfielder to be determined. I mean, it's I kind of love my midfield right now, though, like everybody else. It's sort of
take me through your midfield. Who you got?
Well, it's just I've just got Rashford, Martinelli, Salah, who's going to turn into KDB, and then I've got a couple of cheapies and Bailey and Andreas, and that has worked out really well for me with Haaland and Kane up front, and then a
You've
rotating
got people
third
who play
forward.
Minutes. They start. You can rotate yep. them in and out. Very flexible.
Exactly, and then. And so I could maybe beef it up a little bit. I could, you know, it wouldn't be that hard to move Cancelo to a cheaper Man City defender, perhaps. And that would allow me to upgrade Bailey to somebody I could just take a flyer on in Game Week 23. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can get all the way to Martin Odegaard. That's a possibility. So I think there are some, although, and Nketiah is the player I'm really thinking about for Game Week 23. I don't want to get ahead of myself too much there. So, what do you think? I mean, Anthony Martial, what do you think about, you know, I feel like I'm saying you know a lot on this week's pod, Brendan. I'm trying not to, but it's, I find myself getting very tense when it comes sure. to these double game weeks. I'm really
there's a lot on the line
right
here.
Move. Exactly.
A lot.
Exactly.
It may feel like we're just kind of in some mid-season doldrums right now, but
no, a gift
of a double game week like this and mm-hmm. With these big teams, I mean, you can argue about how big a club in the Premier League Manchester United right now are, but they have this opportunity to deliver FPL points. So I think I would put Anthony Martial in that Bruno Fernandes category of probably not a guy who I feel compelled to get and to go out there beating the drum for. But he also feels like a fun player to own for this double, and there's big upside yeah. with him. I think that it's probably Ten Hag's best formation is to have the lone striker in front of Bruno, Rashford, and probably Anthony, and it's Martial. And whether Martial is in form or not kind of doesn't matter. They just need somebody to occupy that space, and just by virtue of being there. He'll have a few chances. And I think if Martial yeah. decides it's going to be a good day for him, then, yeah, you'll get some. You've had some good yeah. times with Martial in past seasons.
It's been many years, but there have been. I don't like his attitude. I don't like the way he seems just so unhappy. He feels like the kind of person who really hates football. You know, there's certain players in sports who just very clearly hate the sport that they're in. And I feel like that's the category that Martial
he's
finds himself
in. He's in the Benoit Assuakato category?
He is, a little bit. Yeah, wasn't there somebody else who just came out and talked about how much they don't like sports? I feel like there's some stories in the World Cup.
Yes, it escapes me, but they're out there. They walk among us.
I think. They do. And it's like, why admit it? Why are you going around telling people this? I don't want... Yeah, finally he admitted. I don't want to know. I don't want to know if you don't like sports. I'm already conflicted enough about sports. If I'm watching sports and the people don't even like the sports that they're playing, it really at some point.
What if I were to come out in public, Josh, in an interview in the players' like chair or whatever it's called, and I'm like, yeah, my job where I just like check email all day on a laptop. You know what? My heart's not in it. I'd rather be playing football.
Yeah, exactly. If I did a podcast interview and I was like, I don't even really like FPL. You know, just like, what is the point? The whole edifice starts to come crumbling down a little bit. So anyway, not a big fan of Martial, but he is far and away the best the best third forward for mm-hmm. for game week 20 after Haaland and Kane. So I think that it's that seems like in some ways the moves that are so sensible that I should almost probably do them and just not really overthink it a little bit. I think the question of Man United's defensive fixtures is something worth considering because they do host Man City and then they go away to Palace. I think that away to Palace match, I think there's a possibility they could keep a clean sheet there. It's not this is not Palace in their best form, and I'm not sure that's going to be fixed over the next 10 days or whatever. So I think that it's there's a good possibility of a clean sheet there. He's in really good form as well. So even if Man United concede a goal or two to Man City, which seems extremely possible, I think that there's still a chance you could get cross in that mm-hmm. converts into an assist or something like that, and then you get that Palace match as well, where I think you'd really have an even better chance of getting an attacker return from him.
And hey, if they don't get the clean sheet against Palace in game week 20, they can try again in game week 22 when they host Palace at Old Trafford. So
it's weird, isn't it? It's weird that you would think that things would totally flip. It's like when Chelsea and Man City played twice in 4 days, but no, it's just the same old story. repeating itself.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. It's a just get the good players sort of situation and don't try to predict the outcomes. So I feel like that's often where I get into trouble with fantasy is trying to predict outcomes versus just getting the good players in. So I think Luke Shaw's in great form. Manchester United seem to finally know what they're doing. It's time.
Yeah. And moving Mitro, I don't feel too conflicted about. They play, Newcastle away, and then Chelsea, the Spurs at home and Chelsea away in their next three. So it's not a great run. I don't know. I guess playing Spurs at any time right now seems like a pretty good time, at least in terms of Spurs conceding goals. But although I guess they did keep a clean sheet that bizarre match, the Harry Kane second half, which was amazing for me. I don't know where it came from. It was not anything I was expecting. At halftime of that match, I was like, let me just get 2 points from Kane and let's hope he doesn't get a yellow card because he was right on the verge of, I think he still is. I think he has four yellows, right? Yeah. So he's still at risk of a yellow card suspension. So that's a fun thing hanging over him heading into the North London Derby. Always exciting, Brendan, have a little extra tension.
It resets after a team has played 19 or 20 matches, something like that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, will this be their 19th match though? Because there's the missed game week, right?
Yeah,
the missed,
let's see. I'm pulling up the table to see it. Oh, this is gonna take me a minute. You got to vamp.
Yeah. Well, it gets very confusing, especially
because they
played
18 matches. So
okay,
close.
So this next one will be their 19th, right? So it'll be 19 out of 38. So this is the one, but this is the problem then. So this is the first leg. So we could be, we could find ourselves in a Mitrovic situation again, Brandon, where it's the North London Derby. It's not exactly a fixture that doesn't have a little bit of chippiness to it, Brandon. So
you got to show, got to go out there and show passion, Joshua.
Exactly. In theory, Kane should be able to avoid a yellow card. He's a pro, but
yes.
I don't know. We thought the same thing about Mitro ahead of the West London Derby, and then he went and got a totally pointless one. It was so unnecessary, that yellow card. But we're not here to talk about the past, Brennan. So if I make those moves, then I would have, let me get back to my team here quickly. I would have 1, 2, 3, 6 players. I would have 6 players for the doubles on a -4. Instead of Kane, Haaland, Cancelo, KDB, Shaw, and Martial. That is the ultimate coverage double right there.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of swords in there, Brandon, if we're talking swords versus shields. Not a lot of swords in there, but I don't want to move Martinelli to Antony or something like that, or Eriksen. I don't like that move. I suppose there might be a sword advantage in going for someone like John Stones, who's probably... is playing mm-hmm. as well as he's ever played for Man City. Yeah. I think all of the Man City midfielders, it's just, if you hit on them, it's like winning at the casino. It's just like, it's sheer luck. There's really no, I don't like see a lot of, advantage in going with a Gundogan or a Bernardo Silva, or even Riyad Mahrez. I mean, there was somebody, I actually think I added their comment here to our thread. He said, yeah, FPL controller said, how many goals did Mahrez have to score today before Josh would consider him in game week 20? He scored 2 today, Brandon, and that was not enough. I would need at least 6 for me to strongly consider Mahrez for my game week 20 squad.
Yeah, this does feel like the Riyad Mahrez farewell tour for Man City this season. And it's like going very well for him. He's having a great season. But it just doesn't make me want to get him into my fantasy team. It's certainly a lot of inherent bias working against him, yeah, as far as we're concerned. Everybody who's played FPL for the last 5 years has tried the Mahrez gambit. Few yes. have lived to tell the tale. I just want to go back to what you were saying about swords and shields, though. I feel like you may feel like you're bringing in some defensive picks and bringing in players like De Bruyne or Kane. These are shields that are weaponized, though.
That's true.
I don't think it's a situation where you're bringing in some sort of marginal player who is just a favorite going into this game week. These are players who you can hold for the long term. And
yeah. Well, you and I got into this a little bit on our Patreon pod this week because you were talking about Kane a little bit, and you mm-hmm. were a little on the fence about whether you wanted Kane for the double. And I was arguing that Kane has been this kind of bizarrely, given what a famous, what a great fantasy asset he has been for many, many years in FPL. But he has been like my secret weapon this season, mm-hmm. right? This very famous, expensive player who I just have just had week in and week out since my Game Week 8 wild card. It's been really terrific for my squad. And I think that instead of seeing bringing in someone like Kane, this actually makes the -4 even easier for you or people listening to this podcast. It's you're also just getting Harry Kane. You're just getting one of the best players in the Premier League who's having an extremely good season, a season that is not so radically far off from what Erling Haaland has done so far this season. It was a little surprising to me to find out just how close they were in total points. They're only 17 points behind Erling Haaland, and Haaland's having an absolutely incredible season. One of the arguably the greatest starter forward has ever had in the Premier League, right? Yeah. 21 goals and 3 assists, and that even includes missing a match. But Harry Kane, who is still only 0.1 up, Brandon, from his starting point price of 11.5 in the season, has 15 goals and 4 assists, along with 25 bonus points in the season, yeah, which is absolutely terrific. It's actually only 2 fewer goals than he scored all of last season. So he really is having kind of a low-key tremendous season. And I think people look at it and they see, well, there's a lot of 6, 7, 9, whatever, but it really starts to add up, right? You take a 7 and a 9 and think of that as a 14 pointer and a 2 pointer, right? In terms of, just if you rearrange those numbers, it looks really good. It's the consistency almost deceives the eye a little bit.
Right. We became used to a version of Harry Kane in fantasy who was scoring braces or hat tricks. And he only has 2 braces on the season, no hat tricks. And it feels like, oh, this is kind of anemic. But then, yeah, you take the long view, you've got 13 of his 18 matches played, in which he started and played virtually 90 minutes in all of them. He scored at least a goal. So there are only 5 matches and when he has not managed to score. And that is a base coat of paint on your on your fantasy team that you really can't go wrong with. So, yeah, I'm finally sold on the idea of Kane. I mean, I had him going into the World Cup and, of course, decided I was going to try to replicate what Kane was doing with Darwin Nunez. And that just Kane's great season is now, I think, being magnified by the fact that no other forwards are stepping up to the plate to even compete, let alone get close to what Kane's doing.
Yeah, I mean the Darwin situation. We just can't even talk about it in this week's pod. Right? It's a black hole that threatens to suck up all FPL conversation. So yes. I think we'll wisely avoid it. So we talked about this a little bit already, but just to go back and just think about the doubles in a broader sense for a second. Harbor Boy says, are any of the game week 20 doubles actually good? So, and I think you said in a second a minute ago that we should be focusing less on on maybe fixtures and more on bringing in high achieving the like blue chip stock FPL players with long track records of success and not worrying too much about the fixtures themselves. But just as a refresher, Man United play Man City at home, Palace away. Not, it's not bad. Palace play away to Chelsea, home to Man United. That's pretty bad. And we're just really not going to target Chelsea or Palace very much. I think we should talk about them at the end of the pod because I want to talk about some low ownership picks that we could at least kick around for a double. Maybe not you or me personally, but I think certainly people out there who are, some people are considering a wild card, for example, and I think then you could maybe try your hand at an Eze or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Zaha is on my ban list, so he will not be part of this discussion. And then Man City play away at Man United and home to Spurs. And if we've learned anything from the last two wins against Chelsea, it's fine. It doesn't matter who Man City play. It certainly doesn't matter in terms of Haaland. And then Spurs play Arsenal at home and Man City away. And I think with Spurs, the only thing it does is convince me that I don't want to have Perisic or one of their defenders, which maybe I could have talked myself into if those fixtures were a little bit better. But I think in terms of attacking output, certainly with Harry Kane, it's kind of, I mean, we're actually in kind of a similar situation with Man City and Spurs, aren't we? Where you have one forward who is unquestionably great fantasy asset, and then the entire team beyond him is a little bit suspect. And I think this applies to Man City and to Spurs. I mean, is there any one player outside of maybe Ederson who is just an absolute, you know, guaranteed lock for Game Week 20?
I think De Bruyne plays both, starts both.
Sure.
So, that's just kind of like, that's not unlocking any secrets for the fine folks listening right now.
Yep.
But that's really about it. We have reached peak Manchester City, in which they have two full-blown starting 11s that are on the team sheet every weekend. So it's just pointless to try to predict these outcomes. And I think the Foden situation is made worse by the fact that Grealish is finally starting to pick up some true form for that team. He seems preferred, Grealish, that is. So, but then I fear if you go for Grealish, you inadvertently put yourself in the same situation that you were with Phil Foden. So I think it's my feeling is don't overcomplicate it. Take the sure bets, because the whole point of the double game week is you want more minutes from your fantasy assets.
Yeah.
So, to accomplish that, you just have to target, I don't want to say boring picks, but just the guys who we know or have the best idea will get more than 90 minutes. So I'm not feeling any off the wall picks from City or even Spurs. Spurs, no. Maybe you go for somebody like Matt Doherty. How expensive is Doherty right now? Is he cheaper than Luke Shaw?
Sub five.
He's 4.6. So if you couldn't afford Luke Shaw, that's like kind of a cheeky, he's got some attacking potential. And it does seem like there's not a lot of competition where he's playing right now. But Spurs can't defend. My feeling, like what I was saying earlier, was try not to predict the outcome. Just get the good players. If you were to look at these fixtures and you say, oh, well, Spurs don't really stand a chance against Arsenal or Manchester City, hypothetically speaking, I'd still predict, like if Spurs lose both, I would predict maybe like 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 scoreline. I would predict goals for both sides in both of those matches. That's what I would do. So even if you're like, I don't feel like Spurs are going to win either of those matches, do you not still at least feel like Spurs will score goals in game week 20? I think they will. Kane will be involved. Yeah. So that's kind of the logic that I would apply.
I feel like we've just personally seen Spurs, we've seen Son and Kane do this against all the best teams, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen them do it last year. Son scores the only goal in a 1-0 win over Man City. That's actually without Kane even in the squad. Kane and Son have gone to Anfield and the Etihad and tons of other places, and North London Derby certainly as well. Kane loves a derby, right? Famously. So I think that there's a lot of I feel kind of the same way as you. Son is someone we haven't talked about at all, and came on late in that Palace game. I had a goal and assist. Finally got a goal, got a little bit lucky. It was maybe a slightly deflected goal, but that's sometimes how form gets reasserted, Brandon. It's a little bit of luck. That, to me, is the ultimate wild card move, would be to go for Sun. I really can't advocate for it because I think ultimately we've made a better case for Bruno as the player to target. And I kind of feel the same about the Man City midfielders that we were talking about before. I mean, I feel like if you're looking at Zaha, if you're looking at Bernardo Silva or Gundogan or any of those, even Grealish, I would probably just try to go for Christian Eriksen or Antony. I just think that they're a little more fun. I think the Man United are playing a little bit better right now. Their form is better. It would just be more fun, I feel like, to have those players. And we'll see about, Kulusevski, Kulusevski is now targeting a return for the North London Derby. So there's a good chance you'll have Kulusevski for both those matches for the double. So it's too early. The problem is with this Friday, with the Friday deadline, it's probably going to be a little too early for us to know whether Kulusevski is available. And so I think it makes him a little too much of a risk. But the fact that it looks like he will be back in time for the North London Derby, I think, is really good news for Kane. So if you are listening and you're on the fence about Kane right now, I think that he does become a little more appealing just because of Kulusevski being back in the equation.
Richarlison as well could be back fit for the North London Derby for Spurs. So it's like the issue that Spurs have had in the last three game weeks is like they have no attackers apart from Son and Kane. So having the Kulu and Richarlison back will be a big help, as you say.
All right, couple more questions here, Brandon. One we haven't talked about yet, which is really a crucial question, is Goran Hendrickson says, is it time to triple captain Haaland? Are there better doubles coming up later? Have you given any thought to triple captaining Erling Haaland?
I mean, just based on FPL discussion that exists in the world, I've had to think about it. And I don't want to think about it because I tend to think something better is going to come along. But what's better than it doesn't? I mean, so to follow my own logic, like what's better than a double for Haaland and it doesn't matter who they're playing? Haaland didn't play a minute in the FA Cup fixture. He got a bit of a rest this weekend. He's going to start both of these fixtures in game week 20. What more do you need to know than Haaland starts two matches in a single game week? So we're playing our triple captain on Haaland this season. It's just a matter of, is it game week 20 or is it another game week to come? So yeah. I do think it's a gamble kind of either way. If you play the triple captain in game week 20, you're gambling that there isn't just some sort of like amazing slam dunk Bournemouth Nottingham Forest double that's to come. But if you don't play the triple captain in game week 20 on Haaland, you're gambling that City do get like a convenient good double later on in the season. Yeah.
I'm still feeling a little burned from last year. I feel like you and I both blasted through many of our chips a little early on last year, and it didn't really work out well. And then we had to sit through the final 10 weeks of the season while everybody else played their chips and charged past us.
Yeah.
And I can't say that I enjoyed that at all. That was not my favorite thing. So I'm thinking now that I may wait. And I think that it looks like we're going to have three, maybe even four different times that we'll be able to captain triple captain Haaland in a double. There are some considerations here, which is that this is probably the best time to have Haaland and be sure that he's going to start both those matches. We will have the Champions League later on. We'll have, League Cup final. There will be other times when there's a little bit of risk whether he'll start, and just Alvarez is so good that eventually I do think that he'll get some starts over Haaland, especially if they get farther into the Champions League matches. But I think that's a little bit of fear talking. I think that I think it's still better off to wait for just a slight. I actually feel great about the Spurs match. I think he has a great chance to do something in that one. I'm not feeling quite as positive about the Man United match. I think it's an early Saturday game. Man United are really in the just in a really nice run of form at the moment. And I think the crowd is going to be really fired up for that. Obviously you and I were there for one of these Manchester derbies, Brandon.
Yeah.
And
it was Scott McTominay half field goal against Ederson and
Martial scored in that one too. That's also the match where you and I went to our first ever on-site betting parlor and lost every single of our like dozens of bets.
Oh my God.
Every
single bet was Hedge City and we couldn't convert a single one. I mean, people may forget how well recent history United have performed in this derby at Old Trafford, despite like the losing, was it 6-1, 6-2 earlier this season, where Foden and Haaland both scored hat tricks. I think, yes, you make a good point that this is kind of a totally different Manchester United team that we're seeing right at this point in the season. And also, home support goes a long way in this fixture for Manchester United. So I'm with you. I'm not guaranteeing a Haaland hat trick here.
No, and he just went away to Chelsea, another difficult away fixture. He's not immune to even the best players. Mo Salah, right? Even the best players are not typically as good when they're playing their toughest fixtures. There's nothing revolutionary there. So I think, given the fact that Man United fixture is going to be a tough one, at the very least, I don't see him getting like 17 points in that one, right? And so I think, viewed through that lens, it's like I just think that there's probably a good chance that we're going to get an even better double for him down the line. And so I think we're simpatico there. We're not going with triple captain Haaland.
Let me give you a what if, just to close out this conversation. What if I were to guarantee you that Haaland scores one goal in each of these two matches, one against United, one against Spurs? If you
knew
more
than that,
and no more, would you play the triple captain?
Oh, wow. So that would, let's assume he starts both them. We're looking at a minimum of 12 points. Mm-hmm. Very likely to get bonus points as well, though. So let's give him two bonus points and be conservative. That would be 14 points. I would take it. I would take 14 points from triple captain. I think that's an excellent return for triple captain. I would absolutely take that. Would you not take that?
I would take it as well. I would definitely take it. I think you'd kind of be you'd definitely be a high roller or a.
Do you know a time traveler who can tell us that? I'd love to.
I have Biff's sports almanac on me right now. But I don't know. I don't know. I think you're right on the edge there. With if that's the case, it does seem like a very likely outcome that Haaland gets two goals this game week. So anyway, just putting that sort of like what if in the conversation, we've got all week to sort of think about this. And
there's just enough of a chance that he blanks in that Man City match. Just enough that's what's throwing me off, because I know that we're going to have these other opportunities later. And this is really about as, I mean, honestly, we have the game week 23 double coming shortly after that as well. And, you know, that one. that one they have Aston Villa at home. So that already seems better to me, honestly. Give me Villa at home in 23. Doesn't that seem better to you than away to Old Trafford? And
just in a single game week, Villa at the Etihad. Sure. Yeah. Well, that's when I and then Arsenal at Arsenal. Interesting.
Which is a tough game, but that's such a huge match that maybe I don't know. I don't want to get too. Let's hold off on that thought, Brendan. A couple of last questions, though. I think I just said that the last two questions ago, but let's keep going here for a minute, Brendan. Mm-hmm. Miggs asked about whether we should just drop Cancelo. I think I made the case for just holding him, and maybe it's just a team dependent situation for me. I just think it makes sense to hold him because I don't want to. I think I'm probably going to end up burning points this week anyway. And to burn points to drop him, I think there's at least a reasonable chance he starts one of these two games. And maybe you get this out of position Cancelo again, which if you do, then that's even better. So I think it's prudent to hold and try to shore up your team elsewhere. I think in your specific case where moving him frees up enough money for you to make the moves that you want, I think that's a horse of another color. And I think in that case, it's a reasonable move.
I agree. I mean, my case coming out of the World Cup, unlimited transfers, I'm keeping Cancelo because he's a lock in that starting lineup. Maybe he's too expensive, but to have a hold on that Manchester City defense with an attacking output, I'm going to have Cancelo. The story has completely flipped with the emergence of Rico Lewis. Now that Cancelo is not guaranteed starts, it's just like end of conversation, over.
I know. How did this happen? It's like it's crazy. It's a black swan event, Brandon. This idea that Cancelo is suddenly irrelevant in fantasy. He was the most undroppable player in Pep's squad last year, and suddenly he's. I got to be honest, Brandon. Maybe I'm looking at this through with Cancelo tinted lenses, but I don't think Rico Lewis has been that good. I think he's been fine. I think he's been totally adequate. He was part of that 1-1 draw. Mm-hmm. Let's not get carried away here with Rico Lewis, Brandon.
I think Rico Lewis is probably a little better positionally and defensively. As Cancelo is so much more elegant going forward, but you know, who am I to play tactician against Pep? But I think, I guess to cut it in half, yes, I'm getting rid, but I do agree with you, Josh, that he shouldn't, it's not like hot priority going into game week 20 that you dump this guy. It's kind of like a perfect game week to just ride your luck with him because you've got two chances at the start.
I think that we agree there. We're agreeing a lot on this week's pod, Brandon. Mm-hmm. There was a question about hits, and my feeling is the same as ever when it comes to double game weeks, which is look at your squad and decide whether you are taking out a player who has a good fixture at home, and whether, especially if it's at home, and whether it's really prudent, especially for a hit, to remove that player. Time and time again, we see really great fantasy assets moved unnecessarily for a double game week, and often it's just 2 points, right? It's two, you get two blanks doubled, and the player who has the good home fixture scores a goal or whatever, you know, it gets an assist and three bonus points, whatever kind of attack and return you might be looking at here. And I think there's a situation that some Almiron owners probably find themselves in right now because they host Fulham at home. He has fallen off a little bit. I would probably, if I had Almiron, be very tempted to move him. And if I didn't have a ton of money, I think that Almiron to Eriksen would be a fun move. They're roughly the same price. I think it's fine to hold Almiron, but I think that Gabriel Martinelli, I bought super cheap, and I find him too hard to move. And they have a double in game week 23, so he can't move. Obviously, Rashford's not going anywhere. We talked about Salah already. The other players on my personal squad are too cheap for me to move them around. But if I was in that kind of 6 million range, I feel like I'd be, I couldn't quite get to Antony or one of the more expensive players. I think that Eriksen is kind of a fun one just because you could see him getting two assists across these two matches.
Yeah, you better be bringing in a double game weaker if you drop somebody like Almiron or if you take a transfer penalties. And -4, you better be bringing in a doubler. I'm taking a -4 and I'm bringing in three doublers. So I'm essentially spending 4 points to get six players, which feels like a great deal. And compounded by the fact that these are three players in Kane, De Bruyne, and Shaw that I am happy to keep long term. So sort of amortize that transfer hit. If you're looking to take a points hit just to take a punt on Martial or Antony and then you want to immediately get rid of them, then you start to think, well, could I maybe get close to replicating that points output with a guy I already have, possibly?
All right. Well, it feels like our teams are going to – I was just thinking as you're talking about the moves, and it looks like I'm going to make very similar moves. I think that it looks – I feel like we're going to get – teams are going to start to look very similar for a while here, but we have a lot of other doubles still to come. So many rescheduled matches still to get played. Many of them will be scheduled in the next few weeks, Brandon. So teams will start to disperse again and look differently. Just one final question here, Brandon, which is, are there any under the radar double game week options? Anyone we haven't talked about that you feel like deserves a little bit of a shout before we conclude this week's pod?
Wow, we have covered quite a bit of ground, and I guess this was the moment to bring up Crystal Palace. And
right,
I mean, you put Wilfred Zaha on your banned list, but I do think you have to say he's really not fulfilled his potential the last few months in the league. But there is that player in there. He's playing against Chelsea. Chelsea's not great at the moment. If he's going to score, it's going to be against Chelsea. And then they do have that home fixture against Manchester United. But, I mean, that's just me sort of like talking. I'm just talking nonsense there, because the price and the position that Zaha takes up in a fantasy squad, it's kind of wasted on him, unfortunately. Yeah. But if you're the type of manager who wants to be different, iconoclastic, I think you've got to go Palace in this situation.
Yeah, I think Eze, he's 1.7 million cheaper than Zaha. He might be honestly roughly as good a fantasy asset for the double. I don't think that either one is worth moving. I'm just going to pick Almiron because he's so highly owned. Neither you or I have him in our squad, but yeah. I think I wouldn't personally move Almiron to Eze. That to me, I feel like I'd rather just hold Almiron.
I do feel like I have to say here, I believe Michael Olise has been probably Palace's best player the last 3 weeks.
Ooh, so, and a little wild card.
He's at 5.4.
Yeah, two double digit returns in his last five. So there's another. But again, see, that's like, which one? Okay, so you have Eze, Olise, and Zaha. Which one do you pick? It's not clear. And so then you're in a position where you're gonna get one of these three players, and the one that you don't pick is going to be the one that goes off. When it comes to Man United, I think we talked a little bit about Antony, Eriksen, Rashford, Bruno. I kind of jokingly said Casemiro. I think if you were wildcarding, I wouldn't necessarily advise wildcarding this early, but if you were, I think that Casemiro would be fine as a short-term player to drop in there, just because his 4.9 million he's so affordable. But are there any other, like, I kind of wish I had David De Gea at the moment. That feels like a slight missed opportunity. But any other defenders, it feels like it might be a little risky to go with any other defenders in this squad.
Yeah, I mean, Martinez being back for Manchester United, he came on in the FA Cup fixture as a sub now that he's a World Cup winner. But I mean, yeah, we're really grasping at straws here. I think David De Gea is interesting, you're right, because he will always accumulate save points in tough fixtures because he is a shot stopper above anything else. Yeah.
I just saw a rumor that Maguire may be moving to Aston Villa. So that's a wild
Maguire and Ming sounds like a buddy cop show. I yeah, love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see if that happens. I think that Kulusevski, I think, and maybe even Son would qualify as super under the radar options.
Kulusevski, I like that one.
Yeah. I think that Perisic, if you just think of him as a left winger, is not a terrible option. There's a chance that North London derby is a 0-0. I think that's possible. It could just be a really scrappy match, kind of like the Arsenal Newcastle match was. I don't think that's likely, but you know, give it a 20% chance of happening or something like that. But we could see Perisic get some kind of attacking return in those matches. But the problem is he's 5.5 million, so he's pretty expensive. But if you were looking to move Cancelo on, and you already had Shaw, and you were looking for somebody to fund a move, I don't think that's the worst possible move you could consider.
Yeah, him or Doherty, who's cheaper. But yeah, it's just like, can you look yourself in the mirror bringing in a Spurs defender in game week 20? Yeah. It's a tough one, but yeah,
you know, you never conceded a couple goals.
I think you can be brave in a situation like this, especially if you're like sick of the same old. Having a weird player who has two fixtures is, you know, like going up against, so Olise going up against Almiron or like Andreas Pereira, you're looking at like 4 points over there too, probably. And so you're getting a leg up either way. So, you know, be bold, be brave.
All right, I like that. That's a nice sort of two nice little sentences to end this week's pod on, Brandon. So let's conclude it. Thank you so much for listening to this week's pod. We'll be back next week. Just a quick programming note: we'll be back a day late because you and I are going on an overdue boys trip, Brandon. Mm-hmm. So we'll be recording on Monday night next week. But really looking forward to seeing what happens over the doubles. Hopefully you and I get a chance to watch some of the games this weekend too, Brandon.
Yeah, we're going to be hanging out with a couple of friends who are like, it's going to be a diehard Spurs fan v. Arsenal fan live in person. It may come to blows, and I'm going to be popping the popcorn for that.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. So thanks everyone for listening. If you want to support the podcast, once again, that Discord is live. Now you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. Brandon, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
Yeah, big thanks to our producer patrons, Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, DeBig Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wegner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Lazaros Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Rich Evans, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Mikey Uong, Shiv Morjoria, Andy Portlock, Dan Parsons, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Lee Hickman, Volger Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, James Conroy, Shalin F. Kadakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Paul Herzig, Heath Cram, Roberto Morals, Thomas Tislove, and Noah and Louise. Rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, wherever you get your social media. For all this information and more, visit our website, alwayscheating.com.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you next week. Bye.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.